This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Boeing executives tour Spirit Wichita plant. We have the story.
City officials get feedback on paid downtown Wichita parking. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Boeing's new CEO, Robert Kelly Ortberg, and Chairman Stephen Mollenkopf visited Wichita Monday to tour Spirit AeroSystems. U.S. Senator Jerry Moran invited Ortberg after Ortberg was named the new CEO last month.
I wanted Boeing to understand the value of our workforce and the value of our companies for the supply chain.
Boeing is bidding to reacquire Spirit in a stock-only deal worth more than $8 billion.
Beginning on New Year's Day, the city of Wichita will begin charging for downtown parking. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News it's an effort to pay for maintenance of city facilities.
Anytime we as a government try to expand or add to the system, whatever it may be, whether it's a building, whether it's any other asset, we must ask, what are the real ongoing costs for maintenance? And that has to be part of the conversation, not just building something, but what will be the ongoing cost?
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
President Joe Biden will travel to Louisiana today, but not primarily as a campaigner.
The president and first lady will be in New Orleans to attend an event for the Biden Cancer Moonshot Initiative. The stated goal since the moonshot's inception, to cut cancer deaths at least by half by 2047. An aggressive form of cancer is what took the life of the president's son, Beau. The location of the event is also significant, in the heart of what some refer to as Cancer Alley. The EPA has seen a high risk of cancer in the stretch from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. The president's trip is not primarily to campaign. He will speak next week at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
The quest to get American gymnast Jordan Chiles her Olympics bronze medal back has hit another bump in the road, but it's not over.
USA Gymnastics says an arbitration panel will not reconsider a decision that cost Jordan Chiles her bronze medal from the floor exercise at the Paris Olympics. Chiles was originally awarded the medal following an appeal from her coach about the difficulty score of her routine, but the Court of Arbitration for Sport then ruled that it came after the one-minute window when those have to be submitted. USA Gymnastics claims to have video evidence proving the appeal was submitted in time, but says it's been told that panel rules don't allow it to reconsider cases that already went through arbitration, even if there's conclusive new evidence. USA Gymnastics now says it will, quote, pursue every possible avenue and appeal process. Greg Thompson, Fox News.
We're nearing the peak of the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. And right on schedule, the tropics are becoming more active with the formation of Tropical Storm Ernesto, which is slowly becoming organized east of the Leeward Islands. The tropics have been becoming more active over the past few weeks with the development of Hurricane Debbie, which made its first landfall in Florida and then a second landfall in South Carolina as a tropical storm. KNSS News Time now, 7:03, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock.
The Associated Press preseason college football poll is out, and we've got a couple of interesting names on the list. We'll talk about that coming up in sports.
A ballot initiative to legalize recreational marijuana, North Dakota has qualified for the November election. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. A major forest fire has raged into the northern suburbs of Athens, Greece, killing one person and triggering evacuations of several areas as swirling winds hampered efforts of hundreds of firefighters and dozens of water-dropping planes. Officials say the situation had slightly improved by late Monday night, but Greece remained on high alert. The blaze that began Sunday afternoon raced through the pine forests, left tinder dry by repeated heat waves this summer in Greece.
A ballot initiative to legalize recreational marijuana in North Dakota has qualified for the November election.
Voters in North Dakota have a joint decision to make over whether to legalize recreational pot for those 21 and older. The budding measure would allow users to smoke at their homes and, if permitted, on others' private property. Perhaps a buzzkill for some, the initiative would also include restrictions such as keeping a ban on smoking weed in public or in vehicles. North Dakota voters did approve medical marijuana in 2016. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Voters head to the polls in a number of states that could be critical to determining which party controls Congress.
Businessman Eric Hovde is the clear favorite to become the Republican Senate nominee in Wisconsin, where he's trying to unseat incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. The latest Fox News power rankings show Baldwin with a comfortable lead in the key battleground state. Minnesota Republicans will also select their nominee to face off against incumbent Democrat Amy Klobuchar. And Don Samuels will try to become the latest Democrat to unseat a member of the Progressive Squad after he lost to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar by just under 2,500 votes in 2022. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
President Biden is endorsing a tax plan pushed by former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris.
The president would sign legislation eliminating income taxes on tips earned by service and hospitality workers, giving his endorsement to a plan from Vice President Kamala Harris that would also raise the federal minimum wage.
We have always put at front and center making it easier, giving American families a little bit more breathing room.
But White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre would not say when President Biden became supportive of the no tax on tips proposal. Former President Trump outlined his support for it in June and accuses the vice president of copying him for political gain. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Just a little bit ago, we had the report of a wrong-way driver on Kellogg, so be careful. It was in the westbound lanes right around Washington, so still might see some effects in traffic from that. Otherwise, the traffic volume's just pretty heavy here in the Wichita area. You can see them on those Cordell traffic cameras, and you can also see roadways are still wet after some rain moving through the area. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. How are you guys doing?
Doing just fine.
We're cowering under our umbrella.
We're hiding under our umbrella. We had some real rain this morning.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if, as people head outside, maybe seeing a few tree limbs and branches. Well, not so much tree limbs. Maybe just a few branches on their property, on their lawns. Just because, in addition to that rainfall late last night, and I know we're still seeing some of that rainfall right now, but winds actually got pretty gusty out there too. Initially, as those storms blew in, so just watch out for that this morning. We're also still under a flood warning, Sedgwick County and the city of Wichita included. That's going to be in effect through 10:15 this morning. So those typical flood-prone areas, just make sure that you're taking using extra caution, especially around those parts of the Wichita area, especially around streams, creeks, areas like that. 30% chance of showers and storms as we go through the rest of the morning. By the time we get into the afternoon, not looking as active, and we should be able to see the cloud cover, just like yesterday, give way to some sun before the day comes to a close. High 90 degrees, so not terribly toasty out there, but enough to bring those heat indices up to more than 100. So that's what it's going to feel like once that humidity is factored in. We're also under a heat advisory for the day ahead. That's going to be in effect between 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Later on tonight, 10% chance of rain. Not looking as active, as we should be able to stay pretty dry through the night and into the start of our Wednesday. Another small chance of rain going through the day Wednesday, and then a slightly better chance that we maybe have a passing shower or thunderstorm during our Wednesday night. High of 99 tomorrow, going to be the hottest day of the week for us during our Wednesday afternoon. By Thursday, possibly having a few leftover showers and non-severe storms, at least into the first half of the day, before turning drier again after that. High of 93 on Thursday, 94 Friday. Rain chances to wrap up the work week, not really looking all that great, and so far we're keeping our weekend dry. 96 on Saturday with mostly sunny skies. Sunshine continues Sunday with a high of 95 and into the start of next week. Still mainly dry with highs in the low to middle 90s. Right now we're at 69 degrees. Rain, not too many rumbles of thunder now that the heaviest rainfall has moved out. But we do have still a gusty north breeze at 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 28.
All right. Thank you, Ronell. That's, of course, the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Yesterday's high temperature in Wichita was 90 degrees, normal high for the date, 92. It was on this date in 1936, the low in Wichita was only 86 degrees. That was the low for the day.
Low temperature.
That's the warmest low temperature on record for the city.
Mm.
And that afternoon, Salina set their all-time record high when the mercury soared to 118 degrees.
Ooh. Ooh. It's not pleasant.
Again, that's back in 1936. Today is August 13th. Let's see. On this date in 1995, Baseball Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle died at a Dallas hospital of rapidly spreading liver cancer at the age of 63. Of course, his
63.
Everybody in his family worked in those mines down in northeast Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And he always figured he wasn't going to live very long. But he lived longer than he thought.
Yeah.
Remember what he said? If I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd taken better care of myself.
He certainly lived life to the fullest.
That guy was, when I was growing up, he was it. I mean, he was America. I mean, he could hit home runs 500 feet left-handed or right-handed. Ran like the wind. Yeah, quite a guy. Mickey Mantle.
Went to his final resting place last summer.
Did you really?
Paid my respects to the Mick.
In
Dallas.
In the mid to late 70s, I think his career was over. He came to town for a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I was invited to, as the media, we could come out and just have dinner, have a little cookout, barbecue. And I was going to try to say hi to him. I never even got close to him. He was surrounded by women. I couldn't get close to him. When I was a youngster, and we went to Kansas City to watch the baseball games. I went to see the A's play, but the Yankees were in town one time. I was there with my cousin, Scott, who was an avid baseball player like I was. He says, let's go out and watch the Yankees get off the bus. That's how early we got there. And these guys got off the bus, and it looked like a group of bankers. I mean, they all had these great-looking business suits and neckties, and I guess – that's the way, when you were a Yankee, that's the way
that was the way, yeah.
First class, all the way. Mickey Mantle. Okay, high wire, we got a birthday today. High wire aerialist Philippe Petit is 75 today. This is the guy we've been talking about.
We talked about him last week.
Yeah. Unauthorized high wire walks between the towers of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, 1971. Sydney Harbor Bridge, 1973, as well as between the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City in August of 1974. Having a birthday today, he's 75 years old. I think the guy is out of his mind. You're not going to get me up there, or anybody else, really. The Twin Towers, that was 1,300 feet.
Yeah. Certainly a guy that has a talent. And
yeah, he'd come up there and he'd lie down on the wire and do all this. Oh, wow. Okay. Ew. Happy birthday, happy left-handers day, that is, celebrating the 1 in 10 people who have it just a little bit harder in life. Unless you're a lefty, you don't notice how many little things are designed for right-handed people. Designed for righties, credit card machines, measuring cups, zippers on jeans, tape measures.
Why measuring cups? I don't get that.
I don't either, but there it is. It
depends on what side you're looking through when you're pouring stuff into it, what hand you're holding.
Right.
I still don't get it.
You're not left-handed.
Well, you're looking at the other side of it. When you're holding it with your other hand, you're looking at the other side of the cup.
I'm holding a cup of water in my hand. Yeah. Why does it matter which hand it's in?
Because it's a measuring cup.
It's a measuring cup.
It's got writing on the side of it that tells you how much is in it.
The ones I have, the writing is on the handle.
Huh?
It says quarter cup.
Writing's on the handle?
This one?
Yeah.
I've got a...
I dip a cup of sugar in. It says right there, one cup. Why does it matter which hand I'm holding?
We're talking about a measuring cup as in liquid, man. liquid measuring cup. It's written right on the side of the cup.
Oh, okay.
What the measurements are.
This thing I got from the hospital when I was there.
Once again, I don't understand. Why does it matter what hand you're holding it in? You're holding it in your right hand or your left hand?
See, this one is...
You can look at either side.
It's the same on both sides.
I don't understand.
Okay. One side of the cup has like metric units. The other one has imperial.
That was... Okay. I'm holding it in my left hand. Steve's cup here. I see 16. I'm holding it in my right hand. I see 16. I don't understand why...
Because that's written right in the middle of the cup. That's not written on the side. If, say, hold it on one side, you can see like hospital logo, whatever.
I see the Kansas Heart Hospital.
Actually. Yeah. And then if you hold it in your other hand, you see the other side's Kansas Heart Hospital.
Yes.
If those two things said something different, you would be seeing different things.
Are they the same? They're the same on both sides.
I guess I don't understand.
That is the same on both sides right there. That cup that you were looking at is. But if it said different things on different sides, you'd be seeing those different things holding it one way or the other.
All right.
Okay.
They're writing with your left hand.
I understand.
That's a little different.
Yeah.
To get that slant, you know. My granddaughter, Jocelyn, is a Southpaw.
Okay.
And
But she's got a twin. Is her twin the same or different?
No, Mary's right-handed.
Mm.
So. Interesting. Lefty day. I mean, some of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball.
Well, see, that's special. If you're a lefty,
yeah,
you can really carve yourself out a career and stay in baseball a long time.
And George Brett throws right, bats left. And I think he was ambidextrous. I think he could throw left-handed, too. And that's ambidextrous. That's a different deal.
That's a whole different deal, too. Yeah.
All right. Left-handers Day. It's 7:19 now, Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Sports time with Ted Woodward, Ted.
Let's start out with a little football. And we check in with the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, the game on Saturday night, the very first play of the game, their new wide receiver, Hollywood Brown, made a catch and got hurt. Let's get an update from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Audio from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hollywood, they were able to get the joint back into place without surgery, which is a positive. And then we'll just see on the recovery. He's back in Kansas City now. He stayed over in Jacksonville till they got that thing situated.
All right. So, his clavicle got out of joint. But the good news is it's not a surgery deal. I think it's just a thing that just has to heal a little bit. That's a much better option than being out of the year, out of the
clavicle. Where is that? That's behind your shoulder.
It's up on that area. Yeah.
And how did that happen?
Well, it was one of those weird things. You just landed weird.
I guess. Yeah.
But at least it's not it doesn't appear to be a surgery type deal. Once again, we'll talk football.
Sure.
1 hour from now with the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, as we do every weekday morning at 8:15 from training camp. And that is right here with Steve and Ted. So make sure you hear it. 8:15, we'll talk some more Chiefs with Mitch. Let's take a look at Major League Baseball. The Kansas City Royals lose 8-3 at Minnesota last night. Ugh. The Royals have lost 17 of their last 19 road games at Minnesota. Cannot win at Target Field. I'll try again tonight. Royals and the Twins, 6:30 this evening. Listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Interesting pitching matchup. Starting pitcher for the Twins is Zebby Matthews. Just a few weeks ago, he was pitching for the Wichita Wind Surge. Now he'll make his major league debut tonight against the Royals. Royals starting pitcher is Seth Lugo, a guy that leads the major leagues with 13 wins on the season. Right now, the Royals have a two-game lead for a wildcard spot in the American League. Royals Twins tonight. Some other major league action yesterday. The Cincinnati Reds at home hosting the St. Louis Cardinals. What a night for the leadoff hitter for the Reds. The second baseman, the former Wichita Wind Surge star, Spencer Steer. He hit a two-run home run early in the game. And then his next time up,
Steer rocks it to left center. Fan going way back. Got again! A two-tater day for Steer. First career multi-home run game for Spencer Steer.
And another heater out over the plate. Spence has such a good, solid, compact, level swing. Ball's elevated. All he does is just touch it and the celebration is on.
Two-run home run and a three-run home run. Reds beat the Cardinals 6-1 as Spear drove in five of the six runs. He's tied for seventh in the National League with 72 runs driven in. His first career multi-home run game in the major leagues. Back-to-back wins for the Reds. College football, the Associated Press preseason poll is out. Kansas State Wildcats are ranked number 18 in the nation preseason. Kansas Jayhawks ranked number 22 in the nation preseason. First preseason rank for the Jayhawks in 15 years. K-State is in the preseason poll for the sixth straight year. And this is the first time that both the Jayhawks and the Wildcats are in the same preseason poll in 28 years. We're just 2 weeks away from the college football season. Minor League Baseball, the Wichita Wind Surge at home tonight, 7:05 at Riverfront Stadium, hosting Arkansas. It's a home week for Wichita, so it's six games in the next 6 days for Wichita downtown. Only three home weeks left in the season for the Wind Surge. We're going for their third win in a row tonight. And that's sports with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe, healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. Bel Air Recovery Center, they improve the lives they touch.
Keep it in for house call for health, adjusting your kids' back-to-school sleep time. That's coming up with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 here on this Tuesday morning, 69 degrees. The U.S. is sending additional naval assets to the Middle East as Israel's military is on high alert for an attack from Iran after Hamas' top political leader was killed. Fox's Jeff Paul has the latest from Tel Aviv.
Israel has been bracing itself for nearly 2 weeks for this possible attack from Iran. And as Hezbollah's leader put it, it is the waiting that is part of the punishment. But here we are a couple of days away from the next possible round of talks between Israel and Hamas. And all of that now is seemingly in jeopardy. After some of the deadliest few days of Israeli airstrikes in Gaza, tensions are boiling over with the region on the brink of a wider war. In response to the strikes, Hezbollah fired a barrage of 30 rockets at northern Israel. The Israeli Air Force later struck a Hezbollah rocket launcher. The back and forth is putting Israeli forces on high alert. The U.S. is adding to the number of Navy assets in the region, with at least 12 warships now stationed in the Middle East.
Meanwhile, President Biden has joined the leaders of France, Germany, and the U.K. in pushing Iran to stand down from any threats against Israel, saying an attack could have serious consequences for the entire region.
Reno County has issued a health alert after five overdoses and one death in just 24 hours. The Reno County Health Department has been tracking overdoses and trends since October of 2020. It says the recent overdoses are an unusual spike. Those overdoses are suspected to involve primarily meth, as well as opioids and fentanyl.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will discuss changes in the ethics ordinance. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
There's an ethics advisory board. They want to remove their name from advisory to simply the ethics board. So they would be the ones that would look at these complaints. And over the years, we have had complaints, but only, I believe, one that was substantiated. And so we're going to hear from staff regarding that ethics ordinance.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Stephen Head of the Morning Show on KNSS.
Federal agents will investigate an apparent hack of the Trump campaign during the weekend.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation confirmed in a brief statement it is looking into the hack of the Trump campaign reported over the weekend. Officials with the campaign pinned blame on bad actors in Iran, as did Microsoft, which reported the hack to the Trump campaign. The allegation was made not long after U.S. intelligence leaders said it had seen some escalation by Iran in attempts to interfere in the November election. The FBI has so far not laid specific blame on any person or entity. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
An American medal winner from the Paris Olympics claims his highly coveted bronze medal is deteriorating.
American skateboarder Nigel Houston left Paris with a highly coveted bronze Olympic medal. A recent photo from Houston showed the surprising condition of the prized medal. In a video posted to Instagram, Houston showed off the medal's wear and tear, saying they're not as high quality as you might think. The Paris Mint responded to the criticism by promising to systematically replace any Olympic medal that deteriorated. Meanwhile, Olympics organizers said they will conduct a study of any medal that they learn is damaged. Deborah Valentine, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
A complex of storms is going to roll through early this morning. 30% chance that we have some rainfall after we get through daybreak. Temperatures heating back up to a high of 90 degrees as skies go from mostly to partly cloudy. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And we have rain in the area, 69 degrees, north wind gusting to 28 miles per hour. And flood warning until 10:15 this morning right now. That's a severe weather station, 987-1330 KNSS. And the weather's brought to you by the Monarch. Whiskey lovers, go to the Monarch for nightcap specials every day from 10 till midnight. Get half-priced pints and $7 signature old fashions. The Monarch, West Douglas, in historic Delano. Chad, you got something going on now?
Just getting an alert now. They've got a road closed north of Buckner. Patriot Avenue between Buckner and Commerce is closed in Derby. They've got a power line down there.
There's some power outages this morning.
Yeah.
Flooding around the area.
So that's the Derby area. Watch out there.
7:35, Stephen 10 in the morning, and it's time for our weekly chat with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Nice to have some rain, huh? Some real rain in the area.
It's wonderful. I walked up this morning and check the rain gauge. We got 2 inches at my place.
Wow.
North of Mays. So we are thrilled by it. And I'm hearing some of the flooding conversations that are happening and obviously want people to stay safe. But if we can find that nice balance of rain over the course of a month, that would be the healthiest thing for this entire community. But I'm grateful for any rain we can get.
Yep, you sure are. Hey, listen, so you got a Sedgwick County Commission meeting coming tomorrow. And one of the things you're going to be talking about, I understand, is an update on their commercial and industrial scale policy for zoning codes, that is, for solar farms. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a process we've been working on for about a year now. What we had historically in our zoning code is we didn't have really pronounced regulations on how do we utilize industrial-grade solar. Now, we're not talking about small solar projects that you put on your roof or even something that's 5, 6, 7 acres. I mean, we're talking industrial grade, commercial grade solar to where, you know, you get upwards of 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 plus acres of solar farms. That's the conversation that we've been in a year. And what we've been working on is really just trying to look at regulations and considerations like the size. What is the appropriate size? Looking at regulations in regards to, you know, setbacks from the road. What's the appropriate setback for something like this? And height of these solar panels. Then you're getting into, you know, environmental concerns. Are there any concerns in regards to what happens to the groundwater and wildlife in the area? Also looking at urban areas of influence. You know, the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission has designated urban area of influences for all 20 cities. You know, are these appropriate in urban areas of influence? So there's been a lot of considerations. We've hired our advanced plans committee with the Area Planning Commission. Did a lot of work on it. We hired a consulting group nationally to give us some recommendations, and it's all coming down to the goal line. I'm excited to get it across the goal line, and it looks like we'll probably have a vote tomorrow.
Is that solar power that supposedly we will use or we sell?
What happens, this ties right into the grid. We have 3 substations here in Sedgwick County. This will tie right into the grid and be used for general commercial purpose, and it's kind of a supply and demand capacity when you start talking about what's going into the entire solar grid for this region. So this just adds supply, a much needed supply in many regards that'll be utilized by all consumers.
Oh, that'd be will this county be involved in that, or would this be a private venture going on there?
Nope, this goes into the general. We're adding to the supply of the entire regional power grid that commercial users and will typically use. So it's pretty complex. You know, when you look at talking about solar and how the grid works, it really is just first come, first serve. It's whoever's utilizing the most electricity pulls it off the grid. So what we do know is that we need to diversify our utility. Now, I'm not someone who thinks that solar is the ultimate answer or but solar is a part of the equation for how we bring down utility rates and meet the needs of of not just our independent individual users here in the region, but the consumers that are commercial in the region and industrial and manufacturing. So what some people also don't realize is I've probably gotten, and I kid you not, guys, I bet I've gotten 200 emails in the last 48 hours, 72 hours on this topic. And what most people don't realize is wind energy is actually banned in Sedgwick County. A lot of people are asking about solar and wind and tying the two together. We are not, it's not permissible to have wind turbines here in Sedgwick County. A lot of that, it was research that was done over a decade ago. And what that does to the actual vortex, the air vortex with all the air traffic that we have here in Sedgwick County. So that decision was made over a decade ago. So all we're focused on right now is solar technology.
It just seems like we look at things like that and say, well, you've got to do it enormously or not. And I don't know why I can't have a little wind charger in my yard and maybe two solar panels, and I'm independent. But I guess that's not the way to go.
Well, you're going off the grid altogether.
Yeah, you
can have it over for a cookout sometime.
That's right.
We'll make one of those little mini documentaries about your life off the grid. I think that'll make for good TV.
That'll give me an electric car at least. There you go. Okay. So now you've also got, you're going to do anything else you want to talk about on the meeting coming up, sir?
Yeah, the meeting, I got two things to cover.
Go
the
ahead.
First is that we'll be talking about an EMS post. EMS post one used to be housed at Old Riverside Hospital. And we moved that post for a variety of reasons while we were entertaining ideas of a new location. Well, that post was over at Stillwell and Seneca. And what we've noticed and we expected is that the response times just weren't adequate for that old EMS post service area. Now, that post used to see over 5,000 service calls annually. So we need to get a more strategically located EMS post. We're going to be entertaining an option tomorrow on land over off of the 13th Street and Sheridan area. Land will be purchased for about $165,000, and we have a CIP opportunity to build a new EMS post in that area, upwards of $1.8 million. But this will enhance response times and service capacity to that region, and it is needed. This is a big part of my district, and so I'm looking forward to supporting that. Also, I don't know if you saw, Senator Jerry Moran hosted some tours yesterday. The brand new Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg and the chairman of the Boeing Corporation, Steve Mollenkopf, was in town yesterday. Now, this new CEO has only been in the job 3 days, and Senator Moran had him in Wichita touring. A small group of us toured Spirit yesterday, and then a larger group of local and state leaders met with them at NCAT yesterday just to talk about the future relationship between this community and Boeing. And I'll tell you, I'm more hopeful today than I have been in months. There was resounding optimism from this new CEO and the chairman of the board. They see Wichita, they see that Spirit campus and all the workforce development, academic things that we're doing here is significant assets to their organization. So I feel really good about where we're at, and some of the comments that were made yesterday is they feel really good about where they're at in Wichita too and want to grow what we're doing here.
You mentioned, just to backtrack just a bit, you mentioned an EMS post that did 5,000 calls a year.
Oh, yeah.
That seems it's like 900 a day or something, or 500. Yeah. Golly, that's a lot of calls, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, significant. Now, remember, and if you've ever toured with any of the EMS folks and you try to go visit with them in one of the posts and it's just constant calls all day long, they're doing there's upwards of 200 calls a day going on in just the city limits of Wichita. I'm so appreciative of our EMS personnel, our paramedics, our EMTs. They are remarkable at what they do, and there is no downtime for these individuals. So, there was a period of time in this community that we had lost over roughly a third of our paramedics around 2019, 2020. And we've worked really hard to rebuild that workforce under great EMS leadership, good county management, some sound decisions from the county commissioners as well, and investing into EMS so that the response times are adequate and people's lives are better protected because of it. So it's a big decision, and EMS post one, it's definitely needed for the community.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us as always, and we'll check with you again next week. Sedgwick County Commission.
Stay on the grid. Stay on the grid. We don't want to lose you.
Fine. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty with Steve and Ted in the morning. And coming up, we got the Wichita Business Journal update. Boeing top executives tour Wichita Spirit Aerosystems plant. That's on the way with Steve and Ted on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS 749 here on this Tuesday morning. Three big things. Former Marion police chief charged in connection with raid on Marion County Register newspaper.
Two.
Mayor defends downtown Wichita paid parking plan, says maintenance funding is needed.
One.
Boeing top executives visit Wichita Spirit Aerosystems plant during pending reacquisition. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
A warning from Derby. They're saying on Twitter the Derby City folk are claiming that they've got some power lines down there, and they've actually closed down a road because of this. So you want to watch out for this. This is a down power line, and it is on Patriot Avenue between Buckner and Commerce. That section of road is closed due to a power line. So watch out for that. That's coming from the city government of Derby. Watch out down there. Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras here in the Wichita area. Still show some wet roadways, although things are drying out just a little bit. And some fairly heavy traffic volumes. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Mostly cloudy with a 30% chance for rain today, then a high of 90 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 74. Wednesday, sunny and hot. Tomorrow's high 99 degrees. Now we have a cloudy sky, 69 degrees. North wind gusting to 28 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We have a flood warning until 10:15 this morning in the Wichita area and a heat advisory this afternoon from 1 to 7 p.m. Hatman Jack still has a great selection of hats to finish out the summer. Hot weather will be with us for a while, and the right hat can keep you cool. Hatman Jacks will make sure you're protected from the sun's rays. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 601 West Douglas at the Clock Tower in Delano, Hatman Jacks. More than 13 years after the murder of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, Terry's family is still seeking justice.
This is Fox on Justice. A federal court has overturned the conviction and life sentence of a man who killed a Border Patrol agent. The case involves agent Brian Terry, who died when his unit tried to stop a drug smuggling crew near Tucson in 2010. A judge convicted seven men in Terry's death, including Laco Osorio Arianas, who confessed to murder but told an appeals court he got bad legal advice. The Ninth Circuit agreed, saying his confession violated his right against self-incrimination and his right to a competent attorney. Brian's supervisor at the time, now retired Deputy Chief Pete Hermanson, says the legal technicality does not absolve Arianas of guilt.
He was definitely part of the rip crew that participated that evening. We also found co-conspirators that organized the event, and there is no question as to his participation in this event that night.
The case is now remanded to the trial court, and it's up to the Justice Department to appeal. William Lajeunesse, Fox News.
Starbucks is among the losers as the trading week began on Wall Street.
A choppy trading session with the major averages ending mixed as investors remain cautious ahead of key economic data in the coming days that will offer fresh clues about whether the economy is heading into a recession. Shares of Starbucks jumped over 2% following a Wall Street Journal report that activist investor Starboard Value has acquired a stake in the coffee giant and is planning to take steps to boost its stock price. The Dow winners, Apple, United Health Group, and Walmart, the Dow decliners, Procter & Gamble, Home Depot, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow falling 141 points, the Nasdaq up 35, S&P 500 up a fraction. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Kelly Ortberg, less than a week into his new role as Boeing CEO, paid a visit to Wichita yesterday, touring the aerospace giant's biggest supplier, as well as WSU Tech's National Center for Aviation Training. The former Rockwell Collins CEO got a first-hand look at Spirit Aerosystems, Wichita's biggest employer, and the company that Boeing aims to acquire through an agreement of more than $8 billion announced earlier this summer. Ortberg then toured NCAT, a facility that has been held up by state and local officials as an example of the Air Capital's ability to deliver skilled talent for the industry. It seems that the visit, which did come at the invitation of U.S. Senator from Kansas, Jerry Moran, and included Boeing Chairman Stephen Mullenkopf, appeared it all went well yesterday.
A Wichita developer has plans to expand his work in Goddard by adding single and multifamily housing to the north of the city. Paul Kelsey said he is developing a 35-acre development called Maple Tree on the southwest corner of 199th Street West and Maple. The development will have 93 housing lots, which include 60 single-family lots, 24 duplex lots, and 9 twin homes. Kelsey said he purchased the land for Maple Tree in April. Since then, said the development was platted and approved by Goddard's Planning Commission and City Council in July. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted in the morning. All right, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning with Steve and Ted, keep it here. We have the latest on the Boeing executives and their visit to Wichita. Ted has sports on the way, right, Ted?
Yeah, we're 20 minutes away from our daily visit with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs from Chiefs training camp in St. Joseph, Missouri. We have Mitch in 20 minutes.
Plus entertainment news, the Blur's coming up.
This might be a blue medal winning edition of the Blur. Yep, we got a lot of good audio, including the Bachelorette from last night, too. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Looking forward to it. Entertainment news in the Blur, that'll be at 8:35.
And we have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.